This morning's message, open your servant's eyes, Lord. Open your servant's eyes, Lord. As soon as we began the book of Isaiah, it opened up with a vision. It says the vision of Isaiah in that very first verse. And Keith reading this morning came from Proverbs, the 29th chapter, the 18th through the 18th verse, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. We're talking about the individual here, but we are talking about a corporate body of Christ, whereas everybody in the body of Christ would be happy. Everybody would be able to walk in God's way and do that which is pleasing unto God. But in line with the sermon, open up your servant's eyes, Lord, that we may see. We're talking about us ourselves, each individual striving for his own salvation. So that vision of Isaiah, what he saw for Judah, necessarily that was coming up on them just like what's coming up on the church. But we need a vision. We have a shared vision of what the word says. But what we need is a perspective of our own. We need that perspective in our everyday life and day-to-day life to be able to walk and do that which is pleasing unto Christ. We're going to look at a servant this morning that was a servant of Elisha. And we will look at it in the context of where God worked in this man's life so that he could walk pleasing unto God without fear. You know, in the book of Matthew and in the New Testament, he says, see that you be not troubled. We don't want to be troubled, but unless we personally are doing what God called for us to do, troubles will come. Calamities will come, and a lot of times we may be overcome in it. But as I said, we should pray for one another, that we'll be able to see, that we'll be able to do God's word, that we would be the hands, arms, and feet of each other, and that we would speak those things and pray for one another. But there's a whole lot we have to do for ourselves. As we open up this sermon this morning, the 6th chapter of 2 Kings, the 8th through the 23rd verse says, the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice, but numerous times, listening at what the man of God had told him. He saved the army. He saved himself from a slaughter where the king of Syria was setting up an ambush for him. We have to listen to the man of God. We have to listen to what God's word says. Even though this wasn't a very good king. Even though sometime God's working and he does credit and does things for us, even though we're not worthy of that. We don't deserve that. We have to see that the only way of deliverance is taking heed to his word. It says, verse 11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, which will ye not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel. Tell it the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thine bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, behold, he is in Dothan. You know, even the world, the people in the world, the people around you know when God's working in your life, when God's effective in your life. This servant of the king of Syria knew the problem was. It says not of any of us spying, working for the enemy, but it's that prophet. And Elisha had been well known that he knows what's going on in your bedchamber, that God tells him and gives him any insight into what's going on. there where your problem lies is the man of God. So he sent someone to get Elisha. He says, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. As they compassed the city about, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Elisha, master, how shall we do? What in the world are we going to do now? Because it's totally surrounded. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria, and it came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thine bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink, and go to their master. And he prepared great provisions for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. That was for a little while. They did come back. And they came back as a great host. The enemy is vigilant. That stronghold that's in your life, sister, it's not gone. It's gone for a while. It's like Jesus sat when Satan came and tempted him. The scripture said that he left him to a convenient season. We'll be fighting these battles all our lives. We'll be fighting these battles till the Lord comes. So we see here, blindness is my first point. We're talking about both physical and spiritual blindness, both a result of God's lack of illumination, that God had sent light into your life. See, sometimes things in your life are not the way they appear to be. If you're walking by faith, if God has opened up your heart, if he's planting his word in your heart, there's a whole difference in the world. The outside is different. The whole battle is set in array a different way. Verse 18 through 20, we see who said, when they came down to him, Elisha prayed, said, Lord, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And the Lord smote him with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. That was a physical blindness. He closed their eyes so they couldn't recognize who Elisha was or what was going on with them. Now we see that it's not a total blindness, a complete blindness, and it's like us. It's like us in today. We're wandering around in the world blind. And these men were blind and they followed Elijah. It said he led them. So if they were totally blind, he couldn't have led them to a whole different city. He led them away from Dothan to Samaria. So he led them away physically. That whole troop of men that had come to get him, he led them away. God had smote them with blindness. We're walking around in blindness. A lot of times when we try to go up against the things that we're working in this world, Satan had blinded us, and we don't have the right sense of recognition. And that's what I say, we have to get a vision, we have to get sight, because sometimes you don't know what type of person your spouse is or your children are or your relatives or the people in your church are or on your job are until God opened your eyes, until you say, now I see. It's a nuance in their attitude, their disposition. It's a whole different ballgame to open up someone's eyes. Only God can do that. We can't open one another's eyes. We can't do that. Only God can do that. And so they were blind. But he led them, and he goes on to the 20th verse, says, and it came to pass when they were come into Samaria, they left Dothan. He led them away from Dothan blind. And when they got to Samaria, Elisha prayed, said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they were saw, and they were behold, they was in the midst of the people that they were fighting against. They was in the midst of the ones that they were warring against. You know, a lot of time we end up in the enemy's camp. We end up in the enemy's camp. I remember Peter. Peter was with the Lord, walking with the Lord or whatever. But being inquisitive the way he was and kind of bold and goes forward, he followed Jesus as the soldiers took him, the Roman soldiers took him. And he ended up warming himself by the enemy's fire. And they say, hey, he's a Galilean. He was with them. Peter found himself in the midst of a people that he was against. And sometimes we have to be careful, because in this world there's a lot of people, there's a lot of spirits and things that's coming up against us. Whether it be in our church, our home, wherever it be, there's a war that's going on all around us, and we can't see unless God has opened up our eyes. I mean, we're walking around blinded in darkness until God give us sight, until God give us spiritual sight. That's why we have to continue to pray to him and look unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. We see where only God can do this. And in 2 Corinthians, we see why. We see why. Listen at what Paul speaks to us in 2 Corinthians, 4th chapter. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy. The only reason we can have a ministry or do anything is that God provide mercy, shines upon us. He's given us mercy, it says. He says, we faint not. In other words, they continue to fight. They don't give up. They don't quit. He says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, of lying, of walking contrary to what's right. See, there's repentance when you come to Jesus Christ. There's repentance before you can get enlightened to be able to do the work of God. You have to have clean hands. That's why we're going to have to talk about sanctification in walking in the way. Because you're not going to go around doing the work of God right in fellowship with God without laying aside those weights and sins that's besetting you from running that race. So Paul says, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. When he says commending ourselves to their conscience, because you have to be fully persuaded in your own mind, not in somebody else's mind, but in your mind that this is right. And see, that's the problem here in this nation. That's the problem. You hadn't had that heart transplant to where you've had a renewing of your mind. You hadn't had that transplant. So you must need to be born again. That's what the opening of the eyes is. It's a new birth. It's giving you a new way of seeing. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to whom? It is hid to those that are lost. There's a lot of people can't hear the gospel because God hadn't given them hearing ears. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this gospel is preached throughout the world, but everybody can't hear the gospel. That's why he said, those with ears to hear and eyes to see. You could sit right in the church under preaching. I have neighbors. I have people going to church, going consistently, and still their life, things hadn't changed because they hadn't been able to receive the gospel. So that's why we have to pray that God would open us our eyes. He would give us light, that he would give us ears to hear his word. If it's hid, there are a lot of people that are blinded and lost. And listen, he says, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world, of who? The God of this world. Who's the God of this world? Not our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is Satan. Satan is the God of this world, and they'll do the things to please their father because they are of Satan. Remember, the lease was lost. He gave man dominion, and man, Adam, turned it over to Satan. So you're born in bondage. You're born blind. You're born blind. You're not born to God. You don't have free will. You're in bondage to Satan. And you have to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You have to be blood bought. That's why he says you must needs be born again. So you got a problem now. See, this young man, he was working for Elijah, and he was afraid and fearful because he didn't have what Elisha had, even though they had been working there side by side. There's a lot of people in church who don't have what you have because God hadn't given them a new birth. He says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which what? Believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine up on them. So they hadn't been born again. They hadn't heard the word. The word has been none effect to them. So what's going on here? I tell you, God brings a judicial blindness upon the disobedient mankind. God brings this judicial blindness upon mankind. Now listen at this. I told you you were blind from birth, that you come in this world condemned. He came to redeem us, to buy us back. There was a certain people that the Father gave him that he came to buy back. But the rest of them are lost. There are many people out there lost. They're going down the broad way, even though they're going to church and things, they're going down that broad way. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. That's a narrow pathway. It requires getting skinny, in other words, pulling off the things of this world, of this life. Sometime we see, just like those men that Elisha prayed that God would smite them with blindness, that's because these people were trying to hinder the work of God. See, people can step in trying to hinder the work of God, and God will allow blindness to come upon them. And I tell you, physical blindness and spiritual blindness. See, because you can be spiritually blinded and not be physically blinded and think you're saved. That's what the Laodiceans are. They're poor, wretched, and naked, though they think they have everything that they need and have need of nothing. But they're in a miserable condition and not know it. Adam was dead and he didn't know it because he died the day he ate of that tree. But he lived the physical life for a long time after then, but he had surely died. So we see in the book of Acts a such case when Paul went to preach to one of the chief rulers. There was a sorcerer there named Elymas. It's in Acts the 13th chapter, the 8th through the 11th verse. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, which stood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a full season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Because Paul was doing a work God had sent him to do, just like Elisha was sitting doing a work God had him doing, and these Syrians came in trying to obstruct that work. Be careful, he says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. So if you're working for God, And if God has birthed you again and you witness it and doing the work of God, he's your defense. He's your fortress. He's your refuge. You shouldn't have any fear of anyone harming you. If God be for us, who can be against us? So here he was blinded physically because he never was, had spiritual sight. He was trying to turn people away from the faith. See, we have to be careful of our teaching and what we say and how we steer people, because if we steer them away from the faith, we find ourselves to be false prophets. And that's why Jude had wrote, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Now, there's a lot of people have you contending for faith out there, but it's not the faith of salvation delivered by Jesus Christ through his gospel. There's another Jesus being preached. There are other things that blind you, because it doesn't cause you to repent and lay aside these weights and sin. In the book of Romans, we see this world today. You need to read the whole first chapter of Romans, because it sounds like America. It sounds just like this nation. And once we get to that point, the book of Romans says, I don't know, for brevity's sake, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but if you look at it, that's the point this nation is at right now. And it says, first chapter of Romans, the 28th verse, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. In other words, they're doing wrong and can't see that they're doing wrong because he had blinded the mind. He had gave them a reprobate mind. You know, some people are messed up and don't know they're messed up. And that's a bad condition to be in, because these people are the ones, like the Christians in this nation, that are killing and bombing people and doing wickedness and thinking they're doing God a favor. Now let me go blow up this abortion clinic because this guy's murdering babies. You realize you're a murderer yourself? Do you realize you're a hater if homosexuals, if you can talking and committing offense against the homosexuals in the blatant way this nation does it? You get on a hobby horse of abortion and some of the things that we know are sins, and you present it the wrong way for a following of people to follow you. Because if you're talking about abortion, if you're talking about homosexuality and all this, you get a following of homophobes and other people that don't have an understanding of God, that we're not hating the world and hating the people of the world. We hate sin. See, but this is a messed up nation. And that's the one Isaiah seen the vision to, that nation was going to be destroyed because they had gotten off the tracks. They didn't have a prophet to come to them and waggle that finger and say, warn them that God was going to condemn, that they were condemning themselves because they was rebellious away from God's word. Now, if we go in the 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, the 7th through the 12th verse, we'll see a thing. It says, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Now, I told you about mystery, Babylon. I told you about mystery, the word mystery. And see, mystery is not something like a whodunit. It's not something you watching on television and figure out who committed this crime. It's not anything like that. A mystery is something that has to be reveal a show to you. You can't figure it out. How you gonna figure out God if he says the mystery of iniquity? This is how God has to show you. That's why we say open their eyes so they can see. God has to do that. He has to show you what he's talking about. He has to show you where the pitfalls are. Your spouse can tell you they love you, but God is the only one who can show you that they align. He can show you the intents of the heart. He can show you where you're getting off track with your children. See, iniquity is the legalization of sin. See, so God has to show you what's going on in a mystery. You can't figure it out and study the Bible and find this out. No, you have to see from God. A lot of people talking about John the Revelator. What God, John did, John was a disciple of Jesus Christ. He was a follower of Jesus Christ. And as following Christ and walking in God's way, it's, look, go to the book of Revelation and see. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which he showed John. See, Jesus Christ has to reveal this to you. See, he has to show you the things of God. That's his purpose. And he had sent the Spirit into the world. That's where the Roman Catholic Church era at. There's no vicar of God called a pope or anything. He's a sinner like everybody else. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, he had sent that Holy Spirit. That's the vicar of God upon the earth. That's his. That's the person of God that's representing Jesus Christ on earth, because he had sent him and put him in each and every one of us to lead us and guide us into all truth. Not another man. You better watch it when you're going around fearing man and listening at man. But let's continue on here. It says, for the mystery of iniquity do it already work. Only he who now let it will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked one be revealed. He's going to be revealed. And then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, because Satan's ministers are going to transform themselves into angels of light. That's why this evangelical nation has put in power the structure it has in the government and everything, because we're seeing a government of power. We're seeing a nation that has turned against God. But it's, when you say Antichrist, in other words, it's in the place of Christ. In other words, it's using the name of Christ. And he said, many are Antichrist. In other words, many a religion will come teaching I'm Christ, teaching the word of God and everything. And Jesus says, now beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees, for it contains leaven. These people are preaching the word of God. And that's why he said, you better study. Because Satan is inside of bodies now. He's inside of men. And they are enemies of the cross, Paul said. He says, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. This is a nation that loved the lie. If you want to make it to president, if you want to make it to governor or mayor, you lie to the people. You read throughout Isaiah and throughout the Bible. People love for you to lie to them because their father's a liar. He said he was a liar in the beginning. And that's the problem here. That's why they love darkness more than they love light. That you lie to the people and see once you get elected. They love lying. Darkness is coming. Darkness is here. And he says, they receive not the love of the truth that they may be saved. And for this cause, for what reason? Because they love darkness more than light. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion of blindness. You know that's what the delusion is? We're going to read in the 66th chapter of Isaiah as we study later on that God's going to choose each person's delusion, how he's going to delude them. How he's going to delude them. He says he's going to send such a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Okay, let's keep on here. There's a spiritual world all around us. We can't see that world. Elijah's servant couldn't see that world. He was afraid that morning because the people was encamped around there. You remember Hagar was Abraham's concubine, or his mistress, or whatever, that Sarah had told him to go into Hagar and she had the child for him. And then she told Abraham to put Hagar out. And Hagar and Abraham did that. That was in the 21st chapter of Genesis, the 15th through the 19th verse. Listen at that. And the water was spent in the bowl. He had gave her a bottle of water, some food, and some rations, told her to be on her way. And all the water was used up. And she cast the child up under one of the bush shrubs, And she went and set herself down over against him a good way off, and it, as if it was a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. He's going to die. We're out of water and food and everything, and I don't want to see my child die here. We're out of water. There's no way out. And she set over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard her, the voice of her, and he heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven. And he said unto her, what aileth thee? What's wrong with you, Hagar? He says, fear not. Notice whenever God is speaking to you, so he won't scare you out of your witness and everything. He says, fear not. See, because if it's God, it's good dread could come over you. You're not going to sit there like you're inviting the coffee or something or whatever. You're going to say, oh, I'm unclean. The power, the magnificence, the sovereignty of God, the awesomeness of God, you fear and tremble and quick. He's going to tell you, fear not. I'm not going to do you anything. Fear not, he says. Lift up, he says, for God had heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand. For I will make him a great nation. And that's where your Arab people come from. You know, God's going to save those people also. Forget about your preachers and people who are condemning all those nations. God says that all men shall be saved. In other words, it's going to be a representative from all nations. So don't let nobody teach you to hate man. Don't let nobody teach you to hate people. He says, and open her eyes. And she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad a drink. That well of water was there all the time. That well of water was there all the time. But he had her eyes blinded to it. God blinds your eyes. There's a blessing. There's things all around us in this world. Moses was about his business for 40-some years in the wilderness. He was walking, going on. But one day as he walking, he seen a bush burning. Don't you think that bush probably had been there? God just hadn't opened his eyes to it. You know, sometimes there are things in the world that God has here. Some people have a good husband or wife and go get some old thing out of the street, go get somebody else, and you got a good man or a good woman at home. You can't see what you have. It's a lot of people had money. God had blessed you. It might have been $2 or $3. It's some, I don't hate to call him a bad name or something, but this guy, this is the kind of sense he had. I was watching the news the other day, and this guy, they was interviewing him about the lottery, and he said, well, I bought some tickets and everything. I don't think I'm going to win. I just bought them to be in the race. Why that person has money, I don't know. You mean to tell me you spent $2 or $3 on something that you didn't have faith that you might win or whatever, but you just wanted to be in the race, so you just helped made this person who anonymously won $1.4 billion? You didn't care if you won or not? That's not good stewardship. You need to put good use to your money, even if it's $2 or $3. If you done sold a Dixie cup and I misspend the 50 cents you give me and put it in that plate for that Dixie cup, I'm not a good salesman. You have to be faithful with the things God gave you. So we see where God works through people, and that God servants, you have to listen at those servants. But the second point is fear. Second point is fear. So, and the fear of God, the book of Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You can't tell some people something. People won't listen to instructions. And that's why God doesn't let everyone hear the trounce on the word of God. He hadn't opened up the ears and the understanding. We have to have the fear of God in us, but this person has the fear. This guy, he had the fear of man. The fear of man, Proverbs says, bringing a snare. When you're afraid of people, that's a dangerous trap, because you're scared of what your wife could say. or your husband, or your children, or your parents. When you're scared of somebody, fear, that's a horrible thing to have fear. We know God hadn't given us a spirit of fear. Let's listen to what Elijah's servant said. One of the servants, he says, as he woke up that morning, 15th verse, it says, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, so he was an early riser, he was doing the right thing. But as he was gone forth, he seen the whole hills encompassed about with all these people, and he was afraid. He said, Master, what are we going to do now? We totally surrounded. And Elisha answered, fear not, for they that be with us is more than they be with them. God's word, or God's servant, should have that calming effect on the people around them. We should calm people down, because greater peace than had no man. That's why he told us, see that we be not troubled. There be wars and rumors of wars. We shouldn't be worried about what's going to come up on the earth. Even though your leader say, hey, somebody going to come here and take your job. You got people going to do this. Don't let nobody put fear in you. And it's going to cause hatred of other people. I see where Mexico said that they was going to give all the people jobs who wanted jobs. And they was going to give them a place to stay and a place to work. This nation is going to be unblessed because of the way they're treating everybody. Mexico will step in and get their blessing. Because Mexico said all these Hondurans or whatever, these 1,700 people that they're worried about, we'll give them all jobs and a place to stay. They don't even have to go to that nation since they're such hated people already. You see, God has ways of opening other people's eyes and sending other people's to hell when we're working against that. So why so many Christians in this nation are scared? Somebody's going to take their job. Somebody's going to take their what are you afraid of? He hadn't given us a spirit of fear. Do you know your Bible? Do you know your Bible? I said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So he told his servant, fear not. Let's see now, what can I say about this nation, people? What's the most popular song? Psalm 23? Most Christians know that psalm, huh? Don't ask them, what does the fourth verse say? Now, if they're not a hypocrite. If they're not a hypocrite and they believe in the word of God and they've repeated it, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So if you know that scripture, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid of eating somebody coming in and killing you and doing all these things if the Lord is your shepherd? That you shall not want for any good thing, and that he comforts you. Even though you're walking through the shadow of death, you're scared, you said? Or did you say, you have no fear of evil? I shall feel no. Are you a hypocrite or you believe the scriptures or not? Now you know that scripture. That's why he says, be of good courage. In Joshua, he said, be of good courage. Be strong. Meditate in his word day and night. But maybe you're sitting there watching Oprah or Dr. Phil or something else, and you wasn't thinking about God's word, and you heard the news bulletin that a hurricane or something else was coming, and that's why you're so scared. Yeah. You're paying attention to the world and not to God's word. Well, let's go on with some more Christians here, because there's another verse in Psalms that says, from the third psalm, you don't have to read too far in Psalms. Psalm 3, the sixth verse, it says, though I am an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this I will be confident that the Lord's my fortress. Now that's the third psalm. Do you think about those things when you're worried? That's why Elijah wasn't upset. And he says, Lord, open his eyes. Because you're scared, you don't have a reason to be scared. He didn't give you in that spirit of fear. That's the vision, this word of God. We have the full word of God and see how God has worked. Do you know his word, though? What are you fearful of? Well, that's not going to work, Pastor. That's not going to work. So we need you to find another one. Because they jump up and quote these all the time. Here's another psalm, the 27th psalm, the third verse. And I can do this all day. The 27th verse says, I will not be afraid of 10,000 people that have set themselves round about against me. No height, no depth, nothing will separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, but one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000. But what are you scared of 2,000 or 3,000 people coming across the border for? If you God's people and you got women and children, you say marching, they gonna come take your job. You got terrorists and all kinds of people mixed up with them. But you still quote those scriptures that you can do 10,000. That the Lord is your shepherd. What in the world? That's a contradiction. Something's wrong there. Are you sound in the word of God? Timothy says, for God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, a timidity, but of power, love, and of self-discipline. Watch it now. See, like I said, as a person of God, you should calm them down. Calm down here. Yeah. Calm down some. Don't get discombobulated by what's going on around you. See, this guy was worried about what's going on. If the Lord has his guardian angels encamped around you, you so holy and all that, you shouldn't be worried about your life. You've died in Christ anyhow. Let's talk about the unbelief of the people in the book of John. The book of John, the 12th chapter of John, the 37th through the 43rd verse says, but despite all the miraculous signs Jesus had done, most of the people still did not believe in him. This is exactly what Isaiah the prophet had predicted. Lord, who has believed our message? And to whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? But the people couldn't believe, for as Isaiah also said, the Lord has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so that their eyes cannot see and their hearts cannot understand and they cannot turn to me and have me heal them. Isaiah was referring to Jesus when he said this now. That Jesus was going to do that. He had become a stumbling block because you running around here naming the name of Jesus and you hadn't departed from iniquity. He that named the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity. Lay aside every weight and sin. Stop sinning and lying and conniving and being a hypocrite because he sees the intents of your heart. Before he lets you get this vision, before he opened this up, that's why he got you in darkness. That's why you can't hear the gospel. That's why you're lost. You fool everybody and you think you can fool God. You think you can come right in church and fool God. And he's going to condemn that sin right in your flesh. Many people, including the Jewish leaders, just didn't believe him. But they wouldn't admit it for fear that the Pharisees was going to expel him from the synagogue. That's why a lot of people go along with what the politicians and what other people say. They're afraid that they're not going to get the job. We don't know if Kavanaugh told the truth or not. But if he didn't tell the truth, that's going to happen to his children and him because you can't suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, the senators and everybody might have railroaded that through. But what's done in the dark is going to come to the light. You know, that's what I told my son about this wicked police system that we have here in Baton Rouge. When the absurdities come with an Alton Sterling thing or whatever, and the guy had it in the newspaper, and you see the injustices being done, and then our police chief act upon a blatant lie and get and clear these boys was cleared of anything, but yet still they punish him. I said, son, all you have to do is believe in God and live. You may go through a lot of whatever. But God's never through fighting a fight. The Spirit doeth yet work. You know, payday is not always on Friday. Payday is not always on Friday. So a lot of times you can do racially prejudiced stuff or whatever, and you can enslave and bondage people. But those same slaves that built that White House, you had a black man to live in that White House. The same things that they did to Jesus Christ, he rose up with all power. There'll be more of Anglo-Saxon, of white American that are with you than are against you. You just hear the minority making that noise. But that Jesus said there's more for us than against us. When I went to the Martin Luther King Museum, it had more white people sitting around there crying about the injustice that was done than I seen black people around. So we can't make this a racial or prejudicial issue. This has to be about wickedness and evil in high places. That we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but there's wickedness and darkness in men. And if you dark, have darkness in you, it makes the whole body dark. My last point is faith. In other words, vision of spiritual insight. Verse 15 through 17. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, all encompassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots round about Elisha. God just didn't open the young man's eyes because Elisha asked him. But we should pray for one another. We should pray for each other in the church. We should pray for saints all around the globe. We should pray for those that stand for the truth of God. So we should be praying for one another. And that's going to be one of our tops, is prayer. You see, we should pray that God help others to see. We should pray that God help our pastor to see, to help lead us. Answered prayer. That's what it's going to take. Faith looks to God. And he opened the guy's mind's eye. He opened the young man's mind's eye. Now, like I said, this man, he was in a condition to where God opened up his eyes. It wasn't Elisha. Elisha prayed to God to open up his eyes. That's why I told you Jesus has to open up your eyes. So we notice, I said, that this requires a new birth of being born again. So that's placing someone in the church. So we know he was an early riser. We know he rose early. It says he rose early. He was a hard worker. So it showed diligence in the things of God, in the things he did or whatever. And I appreciate y'all's diligence. I appreciate the work each and every one do. I came up to mow yesterday to take care of that. I said, well, you know, it's going to be cool tomorrow or whatever. We don't have to have the air. We can air vent it out. We can just open air with no air conditions on. But you see, the work and the things that need to be done around here, we do those in accordance to God's word. We don't need to make vows that we could do them or not, because if we could do them, we could do them with thanksgiving. We could do them in pleasure to God. But don't do them. I told you last week, didn't I? Don't come in here doing them this morning. And somebody didn't get the memo, though. Somebody didn't get the memo because they told me they'll do it this morning. I said, no, I don't want you to do it this morning. You see what I'm saying? It's clean enough. It's in good enough condition. We need to adhere to the word of God, because if we're not right with God, he's not going to open up our eyes. He's not going to do for us. This young man was walking in accordance with God, because we see this wasn't Gehazi. You remember, Elisha had another servant that when he healed Naaman of the blindness, this guy was the one that poured water on Elisha's hand. This was Elisha's servant, and he went after Naaman to get the blessing from Naaman. He got the money and the gold and stuff from Naaman, and God caused blindness and leprosy to come upon his whole household. You do remember that one, don't you? So I say, we have to keep the word of God in here. Something didn't push it out. I preached on it. He went right there and he got blinded because Elisha said, you don't have to give me anything. After being dipped in the river Jordan and coming up and seeing, and Gehazi ran after him. See, we have to put the word of God in here. We can't just let it go. We have to meditate in on it to become part of us, because it's going to be little things that people, and the word of God has to come up. Not things in the world, not people in the world, but what has happened, hasn't this before? And the reaction is like a computer. If you don't put it in there, you can't pull it out. That's why Paul said, I hadn't failed to declare the whole counsel of God to you. So we see other servants that didn't do the right thing. So this wasn't Gehazi. But he was calmed by God's servant. And as I say, we should have the calming effect on one another. And we also see here understanding. It says, the king of Israel said unto Elisha when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite thou whom thou hast taken captive with thine sword and with thine bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provisions for them. And when they had eaten, drinking, and drunk, he sent them away and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came to mourn to the land. But we got people now wants to smite our enemies. I heard one of the leaders say that we should kill them and the families. We should kill the terrorists and their families. We do waterboarding and all this. We just look over the Geneva Conventions. What have we become as a nation? And see, that's what Isaiah came and told the people, that they had became dull of hearing, so God was going to shut it up from them, that nation was going to be destroyed. They were going to be taken captive to Babylon so God could sift out from among them the faithful that's among them. This nation's going to be sifted to those only that are faithful to God, that only that walk in God's words. That's why I say, now we got to make sure we are right. God is no click or anything, that just be, it's no nepotism. God's going to chasten those that are wrong. Each sin and transgression shall receive its just recompense or reward. That's why the preacher has to tell you what it is. He can't have favoritism there. He has to beat everybody with that same stick. And that's the word of God. You have to line up with the word of God. But what did Jesus tell us? Did I tell you our representative, the one that came to open our eyes? So now you want to be under the law. You say, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. They did this to us and we will kill them. No. Elisha showed them, these are God's enemy. He captured them. You will kill these people that I just brought here to you blind and open up their eyes? He said, set food and water before them so that they can go to their master. What did Jesus say? He said, love your enemy. If he's hungry, feed him. That's what Jesus told us. We're going to do what Jesus told us to do. That's the only way we're going to get sight. That's the only way he's going to give us more insight. We have to have the understanding and that discerning from Jesus Christ. He says, love your enemies. Pray for those that mistreat you and persecute you. Be careful. Be careful with blood. The only way your eyes will be open is that Jesus Christ opened them up for you. What was his mission? What was his disciples' mission? Because he was a light to the world, and we should better let our light so shine that men would see our light and give God the glory. Well, let's maybe read Acts, the second chapter, Acts the 26th chapter, and see what happens here. It says, Paul says he was sent to open their eyes, opening of the eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, because they were in bondage. We are in bondage, and that's what the gospel does. It sets you free. The truth shall set you free. But God's not going to let you mix lies and deception and craftiness. That's how I say, while we have this ministry, it has to be founded upon the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. In other words, it can't have bait and switch in there. You can't tell a lie to get elected and then say, well, you good. You have to live this thing wholly all the way through. You have to be what you say you are, and only Christ can make you that way. This is no kinfolk's deal here. He says, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among them which are what? Sanctified by faith that is in me. In other words, in Christ Jesus. It's sanctified. You have to be set apart. You have to be purified, sanctified, holy. Only the pure in heart will see God. You want your sight? You want your the servant want his eyes open? Well, he opened his eyes, but believe me, it wasn't a blank check. When Jesus healed the adulterous woman, did he say, you just go out there and live any kind of way you want to, because I'm such a cuddly, goodly Jesus, little cute baby in the manger. Little people under grace now, you don't have to worry about the law, and they're running around here living any kind of life. Or did he tell her, go and sin no more, or something worse will happen to you? Go and sin no more, or something worse will come upon you. I don't know what could be worse if there's about to stone her to death. What could be worse? Paul said in Ephesians, the first chapter of Ephesians, in 18th verse, he says that the eyes of your understanding, you remember I says the fear of God is the beginning of understanding? Paul says the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. So we're talking about spiritual insights, because he's seen the people around him. We see what's going on in the world, but we can't see spiritually what's going on. And that's what we want to do. We want to be able to see. Job had to lose his children and went all through what he said until that 40-something chapter. So of the 38th chapter to the 40th, he said, you know, I heard of God with my ears, he said, but now I see. You know, now I see, said the blind man. We shall see. We shall see. You know, some people got some low-down ways, and until you see them in that area, they say, now I see how you is. I see. When somebody tell you, now I see, that don't mean that they've been blind. That they just didn't know you was that way until the actions or the words you said or whatever you did, observing you, now I see what kind of man you are. When somebody say they see, what you just nakedly, what you are. You didn't cover it up with a little here and there lines of things. But now I see what kind of person you are, buddy. Now I see. And I told you that he says that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints is. So we should be calm. We should be walking in peace and have a good relationship with God, for him to open it up. So let me conclude with this. When John, in the book of John, the 15th chapter, it says, ye are my friends. This is Jesus talking. He said, ye are my friends, if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant know not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he shall give it unto you. So Jesus said that you're his friend. You're no longer in that capacity as a servant, but I've shown you, I've given you his word. I made known to you, and I'm leaving you with the Spirit. He's going to lead you and guide you in all truth. He's going to anoint your eyes with eyesight that you may see. Revelations 3:18 says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich and have white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. And we've talked about being clothed and unclothed. That you be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eyesight that thou may see. He's talking to the Laodicean church, in which he had told that he was about to vomit out of his mouth. So God wants the best for you. But he says, if you do what I say, what I command you. You're my disciples if you continue in my word. You know, we see through a glass darkly. But as we walk in the light, as he's in the light, you will be under ever-increasing faith, ever-increasing knowledge, and you will have a greater light. You will see God surrounding you and encamping around you. you're not going to be discombobulated with things that are going on around you. Calamities and wars, you're not going to let some politician get you upset by the baby, a lady and her baby with a bottle coming in. You're not going to be upset about what somebody of a different persuasion is doing. The world's going to continue on. Man marrying man marrying woman. He told us, he says, it's going to be as the days of Noah. They're going to be marrying and giving in marriage. They're going to be drinking and eating. But he said, I have called you out of Babylon. Come out from among them. So this geographical calling, we shouldn't be worried about the things, because we're hid in Christ. If you're hid in Christ, we're not walking in darkness. He says, walk in the light as I'm in the light. We should be lights unto the world. And in that way, we shall see through the eyes of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. This is a faith walk, people. God had sent Jesus for a purpose, and he achieved it. He said, it is finished. All you have to do is walk therein. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, we ask you to strengthen us in your word, Lord God. Strengthen us and give us sight through your word by walking in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.